I'd just convince that woman knew the Lord, not you.
She says, "Thou art the bread of life, O Lord, to me. Thy holy word, the truth that saveth me." There's an inseparable connection between the written word and Christ, the incarnate word. An inseparable connection. This whole book is his word and concerning him. All right, Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4. I want to look at one verse. The difficulty in preaching, part of the difficulty, is not, the difficulty is not finding a message to preach. This book is a vast resource of messages in every word, every line. Nor is it difficult really to find words to say, but the difficulty is what to leave out. There's so much, and we can't take it in. Our Lord one time said that. He said, "I have many things to say unto you, but you can't, are not able to bear them now." You ladies that prepare food, and so many of you have fed me so many times, and I thank you for it, but you keep bringing course after course after course, and I say, and we say, "I can't hold anymore." So what do? You bring another course. And then dessert, until finally say, "Really, I can't take it." But it's all good. And what do you leave out? What do you leave out? There's so much in this one line. Verse 6, Colossians 4. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man." This is written to God's people. Again, this is written to the saints, to those in Christ. He said, "Let your speech," not speaking to unbelievers. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. But to God's people, "Let your speech be always with grace." Just like in chapter 3, he said, "Let the peace of God rule in your heart." Scripture says, "Keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Well, now he's telling us, let your speech. Keep your lips. Keep your tongue. Said, "Watch over your lips and your tongue." One of the verses I gave you one time was, "He that keepeth his lips keepeth his soul from trouble." My, my. So, let your speech be with grace. Grace. Now, when speech was created, and Brother Ron, look at Psalm 19. Brother Ron wisely read from Psalm 19 tonight. I did not have this written down, but I want you to see this. When our Lord, when speech was created, when it was generated, God's the first one that spoke, right? Genesis 1, 3. God said. It's the first mention of anybody speaking. What did he say? "Let there be light." Everything God said was light, truth, good, pure, just, right. To man, promises, love and mercy and grace and kindness. And he created, that means edified, built up. Everything God said was wonderful speech. You can't speak any other way, can you? Did our Father and His Son, the Spirit, speak together before the world created? You know they did. What was their speech? There's no language for it now. But God spoke. There's no recorded words of Adam to our Lord. He spoke. You know He did. There was just the Lord and Adam before Eve. You know they communicate. That speech is to communicate. What did Adam say? What were the first words Adam said, do you think, to the Lord when he woke up? Grown man, perfect understanding, realized, understand, God had just created him. What did he say? "I think I know. Thank you, Lord. Praise be the Lord. Hallelujah." Out of his mouth. Just good, wholesome, wonderful words. Okay. All right. In chapter 3, somebody else spoke. The next person that spoke, Satan. Lies. Nothing but lies. And then so all of Adam's posterity come forth from the womb speaking lies. Speech was generated for the glory of God, and speech degenerated into the dishonor of God. Listen to Romans. I'm going to read a lot of scripture to you tonight. You don't have to turn, but you know these scriptures. Romans 3 said, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. No, there's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. This is talking about all human beings by nature. This is the way we're born. There's none that doeth good. Now, the first thing it says is, their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they've used deceit. Poison of asps is under their lip. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Even before it begins to tell about their feet swift to shed blood and so forth, it talks about the mouth. The speech was created for the glory of God. The glory of God, right? But speech degenerated. And now, have you ever heard? Can you believe what you're hearing out of the mouths of everybody? It's just filth, you know. It's just, does it ache? Does it bother you? It ought to. Lot, before the Lord destroyed Sodom, it says that Lot was vexed with the conversation of the wicked. That righteous man vexed his soul day in and day through all he was hearing. Does it hurt you? It ought to. It does. I know it does. All right. That's man. Enter the second Adam. The Lord from glory, okay? Enter the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the words and the speech of the Son of God. John 1, turn there. I just got a chill up my spine thinking about that. The Son of God came, full of grace and truth. Grace poured into his lips. And nothing but grace came from his lips. John 1. Don't you love this? Helen, you love this? Her mother was her favorite. Mary Turley, her favorite passage, I believe. I think she could quote most of it. But John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Verse 14, the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Man can do nothing but speak evil until he is regenerated. But Christ could not speak evil, only words of grace, seasoned with salt. And I'll go ahead and tell you what salt is. It's truth. It's the truth. Okay. John, I've quoted Isaiah, Psalm 45. Grace was poured into his lips. I love the story of when the Pharisees sent some officers to take the Lord. He was preaching in the temple. Don't you love that? They went to take him. And they came in, and they had to sit down like everybody else. And they listened to it, and they sat there for the whole message. And then they left. And they went back. And the Pharisee says, where is he? They said, never man spake like this man. Never man spake like this man. Always. How did he speak? Always with grace. Salt, truth, always. Proverbs 8, I do want you to return there. Proverbs 8, this is the speech of our Lord who is wisdom. Proverbs 8, and oh, you could turn anywhere, couldn't you? You talk about his word, but Proverbs 8, look at this, this is wonderful. Verses 1 through 8, doth not wisdom cry? This is Christ. And understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the path. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, the coming in at the door. Unto you, O men, I call. How blessed we are that the Son of God came and spoke to us. Because no man knoweth the Father, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal. And he came to reveal the Father. He didn't have to, but he did. O ye simple, verse 5, understand wisdom, ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, I will speak excellent thing. Oh, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, Paul said. Excellent thing. The opening of my lips shall be right things. Everything he says is right, righteous, just, true, holy. My mouth shall speak truth. Where do you find the truth today? Can you find anybody you can believe? Is there anybody you can believe? You can believe him.
That's right.
Everything he said. My mouth shall speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse or wreathed or hidden in them. It's all plain to him to understand. And it's right to them that find knowledge. I love what David said, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Let God be true. Every man liar. Look at this. Chapter 10. Proverbs 10, verse 11. Look at this. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. That's him, isn't it? He's the water of life. His words. The words that I speak in our life. Look at verse 13. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. Verse 20. The tongue of the just is as choice silver. Verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. You want more? There's more. Look at chapter 12, verse 14. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. John, whose mouth? His mouth. The man will be said, I'm satisfied, aren't you? Oh, what he said. I believe everything he said. Verses 18 and 19. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever. One more. Chapter 13, verse 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. Oh, the words of our blessed Lord. Words of truth, words of salvation, words of life, words of comfort, words of peace, words of consolation, words of our salvation, words of mercy and grace and truth and love and righteousness and peace and reconciliation and salvation and redemption and forgiveness and reconciliation. Keep going. Oh, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word of life, gospel. All right, so the exhortation and the command to us is, let your speech, if Christ be in you, let your speech be always like his speech, with grace, seasoned with truth. Now here's our speech, grace with truth. Well, turn to Proverbs 26. You're already there. Proverbs 26. If grace is in our heart, it will come out of our mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So let it always be. Like peace, let peace rule, and let the word of God dwell. Let it be. By the grace of God, ask him to let it be this way with you. With grace. With grace. What is that? Well, it's to speak wisely. We just read Proverbs 8. The Lord, wisdom, first spoke. He's first spoken wisdom. All right? We need to speak wisely, don't we? And we just looked at walking before others, redeeming the time. Why? To say a word in season to them. All right, now look at Proverbs 26. We need to be wise when to speak and when not to speak. To whom and how and what? Verse 4.
Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. And you've talked to people, you know, you've talked to people, and Peter said this, and it's in our text, that you may be able to give every man an answer, that you may be able to answer. But Peter said that you might be able to give a reason to him that asks you. Do you have people asking you? Do you have people asking you the truth, asking you questions? You start talking to them. Do you have anybody ask you any question? They're telling you. They quickly want to tell you how religious they are. How it's all right. And if you know you're talking to somebody, and you quickly find out that they're not interested. Don't you're casting your pearl before swine. Jacob one time said, I'm not worthy of all the truth you've spoken to me. And our Lord said, it's not fit to give children bread to dogs if they trample underfoot. Now somebody really wants to know. Right? And keep hurling scriptures at people like that. And so we need wisdom to know who to speak to and who not to. Verse it said you'll be like unto him if you just keep answering a fool. Verse 5, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Now there's time when somebody says something, you need to say something. I remember one time a man made a joke. I was working on a railroad. A man made a joke about Jesus Christ. And it was like a hot knife hitting me in the heart. We were in the middle of a room, big people, and they all laughed. And man, I spoke up. And I doused cold water over their party. But it was horrendous what he said. You've got to say something, don't you? Somebody's got to defend that on. So we need the grace of wisdom, don't we, to when to speak, when not to speak. We need the grace to speak sparingly. Do you know how many scriptures? Well, how many have I got here? Sparingly. I got 104. Let me just read a few to you. That's saying it lightly. There are more than that. Listen to this. I'll read them to you. A few of them. In a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. You keep talking. He that refraineth his lips is wise. He's wise. Listen to this. Proverbs 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. And he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. You know Ecclesiastes 5, don't you? Be not hasty to utter anything before God. God is in heaven and thou upon the earth. Therefore let your words be few. We need to be conscious not only who we walk before, but who we're talking in front of. Our Lord is here. Alright? And James 1:19, you know, that let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. And how much did James talk about the tongue? How much? My. Sparingly. We need grace to know, you know, to speak sparingly. We need the grace to speak lovingly. Speaking the truth in love. Oh, I've preached too many times and I've spoken too many times to people like Peter who took out that sword. He meant well, but he that's not, our Lord said, put up your sword. That's not how you do it. The Holy Spirit, you know, it's up to him, isn't it? Why should we get mad and upset? Dad used to say, I got all that from him anyway, but and later on he said, we ought to speak to people and we ought to preach to us young. We ought to preach expecting people to believe. That's the truth. Why don't you believe this? You do believe that, don't you? It's the truth. Why wouldn't they believe?
So we need the grace to speak lovingly, tenderly. What does the scripture say about a soft answer? Everybody knows that. Turneth away wrath. Get in a heated conversation, we all have. Nothing is accomplished. You might as well stop. We need the grace to speak kindly. You remember that threefold criteria for repeating a matter? For saying anything? Is it true? Is it kind? And is it necessary? That's good. So good. We need the grace to speak humbly. We read in Ephesians 4. This is why we read that. Because Paul speaks more of speaking in that one or two chapters than anywhere in Scripture did. And he said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. None. Zero. With that which is good to the use of edifying. This tongue can tear somebody down, can hurt bad. Can it? We've all been hurt by it. And we've hurt people by it. It hurts bad, doesn't it? And a brother offended is harder one than a city. And we've all hurt and been hurt, and this tongue will hurt. But oh, the mouth of the just, he said, is health. Let no corrupt communication, but the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And the next verse, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That all bitterness, evil speaking, be put away. And then he went on to say, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient but giving of thanks. Now let me say this. I love to think about our Lord with those 12 disciples for about 3.5 years. They were grown men. They were in their 30s, most of them, maybe in their 40s. That's young. That's real young. You know. You know what they were doing. They were cutting up with one another. They were ribbing each other. They were playing practical jokes on each. You know they were. Weren't they? You think the Lord came down hard on them? Oh no. You know the little children just playing. Keep it clean. Now, he wouldn't have tolerated that, would he? But he looked like your little children playing with one another. You just delight. They're having a good time together, okay? But too much sarcasm and, you know, poking fun, it can hurt sometimes. It can hurt. It degenerates to the point of belittling somebody. It can hurt. So we need to watch that. But his disciples, you know, they were always, you know that Peter was always giving somebody a hard time. Smile! I'm trying to give you some comfort here. He's not telling us, don't ever tell a joke. In the context here, filthiness, foolish talking, filthiness, that just feeds the lust of the flesh. Don't do that. Okay, well, that's what he's saying there. And on it goes. He said, speaking with grace. Grace is speech. So let our speech be always with grace of our Lord. Now, here's what our speech needs to be with. It needs to be of grace. With grace. It's good that the heart be established with grace. And the speech needs to be of grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our speech. Let men talk about what they will. Let us talk about the sovereign grace of our Lord. Let that be our conversation. And when we speak, let us say, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, I have what I have. By the grace of God. It's all God's grace. Let us speak of what all God has done for us. We were reminded recently about, you know, we need, our vocabulary needs to change. We say things like this, will it rain today? No, it doesn't rain. The Lord sent rain. And we need to give Him the glory for it, don't we? We really do. The Lord sent rain.
Well, thank you. Shouldn't we say that? The whole world say, it rained. When's it going to rain?
When the Lord in great mercy and grace sends us this water from heaven. Shouldn't that be what we let our speech be seasoned always of His grace? Because what do we have? We have not received the gift. And the greatest gift? What's the unspeakable gift? What is our, where is our conversation, our speech? It's of Him whom God gave the unspeakable gift of Christ. Oh, we dare not speak of works of righteousness which we have done, that according to His mercy and His grace, He saved us. By grace are you saved. That's our speech. That's our speech. Seasoned with salt. Now the reason salt is not grace, because He just said grace. Although it is. It's always with grace. But I just examined what could this mean. Salt, 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 salt. One of the first uses of salt in the scriptures in Leviticus 2, verse 13, where God said, talked about the salt of the covenant. The salt of the covenant. Okay? And our Lord said this in Mark 9. He said, every one will be salted with fire, and every sacrifice will be salted with salt. What is that? Truth. Truth. The covenant of truth. Oh, don't you love God's truth? Our God is a God of truth. His word is truth. Christ is the truth. The gospel is the word of truth. Truth, truth. Let our speech be seasoned with truth. Speaking the truth, every man with his neighbor. Speaking the truth in love. Truth. Our speech seasoned with truth. Now the Son of God, the God of this world and the people of this world and all the people in the world are speaking lies. But we're saved, we're kept, we're freed from that, we're brought out from that. How? By the truth. You know how many times the scriptures talk about mercy and truth? Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace and grace and truth. Grace and truth. Truth. The truth. We're saved. We're kept by the truth. The Lord came to Nazareth as a 30-year-old young man. And as the custom was, he stood up to read. And he read from Isaiah 61. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And after he spoke, it says everyone wondered at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. Words of grace came out of his mouth. And everybody, oh, isn't he a good, isn't that? Nobody spake like, nobody read the scripture like, wouldn't you have heard him read the scripture? He wrote it. He read it like he wrote it. He read it like he was there. He read it like he was talking about him. It was. Oh, and everybody, even his enemies said, oh, gracious words came out of his mouth. Then what did he say? Then what did he say? The truth. He said there were many widows in the days of Naaman of Syria, and God didn't save any of them, but one, a Gentile. There were many lepers in the days of Naaman of Syria. He spoke of sovereign electing grace. That's what he spoke. God's sovereign election. That's true. You know that? You know, this is where the truth started. This is where the covenant started, isn't it? The covenant of salt, the covenant of truth. God, in the beginning, before the world began, chose a people in Christ and gave them to Christ. Sovereign election. That's the truth. And you know what everybody did? They took him to the brow of the hill to throw him off. Nobody could have spoken that more mercifully and graciously and lovingly and kindly and from the heart than he did. Nobody, but they hated him. You've got to speak the truth. Because you see, all this preaching going on today, and I hear a lot of it. And even on the sermon audio, there's a lot of this reform prevailing. And you can speak in such a way as to cloud or to cover over, gloss over the truth, to take away the offense of the cross. You can speak the truth in such a way nobody understands what you're saying. Well, you haven't spoken the truth. You got to preach the truth. It's got to come out, doesn't it? Got to come out. Let every man speak truth with his neighbor. Speaking the truth in love. Truth, 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 truth. Let your speech be always with truth. And it says in our text that you may be able to answer. That you may know how you ought to answer every man. According to the truth. And Christ is the truth. There's an answer for any question that arises. The answer is found in Christ. Christ is all. Let me tell you a few things about truth, or salt and truth, and closing. Truth, like salt, purifies. Salt has a purifying effect. You know that? People used to get sick and take a dose of what? Salts. I'm sure they'll probably come back around to that eventually. And here's what Peter said. He said, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. That's what he said. Believing the truth. What's that? It's Christ. He purified your soul. It has a purifying effect. John said this, we know the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we're in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The truth. The truth. You can't speak the truth if you're not speaking of Christ. And it may sound real gracious. And you may be talking of grace, but the grace of God is for Christ's sake. Right? So the truth purifies, salt like salt, purify. The truth like salt preserves. The gospel is the power of God. And we're kept by the power of God. Listen to this. I had so many scriptures. I don't have enough little markers to put in my Bible. But listen to this. The truth, like salt, the truth preserves. You know, you ladies put up pickles and things like that, put salt in it. Well, listen to this. Psalm 40, verse 11. Yeah. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. The truth will preserve us from life. Keep us from life. Preserve us. Keep us. Listen to this, Psalm 61. Just a few more. Psalm 61. I wish we had the capacity. It says in Psalm 61, verse 7, oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve me. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever. Though the truth like salt preserves. Truth like salt permeates, meaning fills. You put salt in something, it's gonna fill it all up. Whatever you put salt in, it's gonna touch every part of it. It fills it up. Of his fullness have all we received. Grace for grace. And John spoke of this. John in his first, second, third epistles. How much did John speak of the truth? Huh? All through John. I just quoted second to last verse. But here he says in his second letter, listen to this. The elder unto the elect lady. He can't speak five words without talking about election. That's the truth. And it's God's glory, isn't it? It's our salvation. The children whom I love in the truth, not only I, but also they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us.
Grace be with you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly. I found thy children walking in truth. 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 Second epistle. The third epistle. On it goes. Had so much to read too. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, and you're walking in the truth. Thank God for the truth. I want to preach on the faithful witness soon. Is there anybody that we can believe? Yes, there is. And then lastly, the truth seasons thing. Salt. Truth. Truth like salt seasons everything. It makes it savory. Savory. You know what makes the Word of God savory is it's Christ. It's Christ. He is that sweet smelling savor that unto God. When Noah got off that ark and sacrificed those animals unto the Lord, it says the Lord smelled a sweet smelling savor. What was it? Christ. The sacrifice of Christ. That burnt offering, that lamb, was of Christ's blessed sacrifice. Seasons and makes it savory, and it's always Christ. We must always season every message with Christ. Right? The truth, as it is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's another thing about salt. If you ever get a taste for salt, you can't go without it. And my dad, that's what killed him. You know what? Finally, he died. He ate too much salt. Mom would say, don't salt. I've got enough salt. And he'd just pour it on. Just pour it. I say, Dad, 95. I say, Dad, it's going to kill you. I said, I'm hoping that it will. You know what I'm saying? And now I find myself doing the same thing. They say it's rude to salt. If a woman fixes your meal, don't salt it. Taste it first. Sorry. I like salt. Don't you? You get a taste for it. You got to have it. You got to have it. And you can tell when it's missing.
Yeah.
I've heard lots of messages. Something's missing. Right? Have you done that? You heard something? I just can't put my finger on it. There's just something lacking. Truth. Christ. That's what it is. Sovereign grace. It's missing. And once you taste it, you want more, you need more. And tell you what salt does, it makes you thirsty, doesn't it? It makes you thirsty. Oh, blessed are they that thirst. The truth. Like the woman, she finally heard the truth. The woman at the well. And it made her so thirsty. She said, give me this water. Give me that water that only you can give me. Truth stings. I had 100 more things. Truth stings like salt. Oh, well. So, that's it. That's all I got to say. Stand with me. Our Lord, how we thank you for your blessed word. Again, we thank you for it. We can't thank you enough. You said in your revelation, blessed are they that read the words of this book. Blessed are they that hear the words of this book. Oh, how blessed are they that keep it, that lay hold on it, that hear it, saved by it, cling to it, as words of life, the truth, as it is in thee, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.